Good morning. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church on this not quite so chilly but icy morning. My name is Tim Putra. I'm your board representative this morning. The announcements today will be in the social hall after the service. At this time, I'd like to invite you to greet those around you. If you are a visitor today, we particularly welcome you. Please sign the guest ledger on the visitor's table out in the foyer. There's also a variety of information there on Unitarian Universalism. Please help yourself to whatever you're interested in. I'll be in the social hall after the service, and feel free to ask any questions at that time. If you're visiting with your children, it is our custom for the children to remain until after the offertory, at which time they're going to religious education classes. Today is going to be a special activity for all the kids in the social hall, and you're also welcome to go along with them. So everyone, all the children are invited. There's a nursery just outside the doors across the foyer, and if you have a need for child care during the service, you can please use that. If there are any visitors who'd like to stand up in the dark today and introduce themselves, now would be a good time for that. You have a certain degree of anonymity today. Okay. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments, conversation, and the announcements. The conversation corner is a good place to gather for further discussion about the service. Please put your cell phones on silence mode during the service, and I hope you find this morning's service inspirational. Today our speaker is our Reverend Jane Espenson. That's it. Thank you. Please join me in the reading of the words for the chalice lighting. They're printed in the order of service. No comment. We begin by honoring the light. Light the candle for our families, our beloveds, our friends, for all our relations. For those who are near and for those from whom we feel an unwanted distance. For the newborn, for the elderly, and for all the wounded children. May this candle inspire us to use our powers to heal and not to harm, to help and not to hinder, to bless and not to curse. May its radiance pour out upon our hearts and spread the light into the darkened corners of the world.
At this time, I'd like to invite all of the children to come forward for the story of all ages. Good morning. Today is a service that's very, very special. And you can see that we're in the darkness today, can't you? I'm going to tell you the story of a girl who lived a long, long, long time ago in a small village in a country called Italy. And her name was Lucia. And she lived with her mother and her father, and she was a very happy girl. And their family was the kind of family that helped people who needed help. When Lucia was 16 years old, her father got sick and he died. And Lucia was very, very sad. And her mother was very sad too. But her mother was also worried because her father was the one who had worked and brought money into the house. And so now when he died, the mother was wondering, oh no, what are we going to do? Who's going to take care of us and who's going to take care of Lucia? And so the mother went out into the town and she met a man who had lots of money. And she asked this man if he would want to marry Lucia. And he said, oh, yes, she's very beautiful. I would love to marry her. But Lucia was only 16. And she met the man and she said, I don't even know you. I don't want to marry you. As a matter of fact, I don't want to marry anybody. All I want to do is to help people in the world who need help. Well, at that time in Italy, there were people called Christians. And Christians are people who believe that the little baby Jesus isn't really a baby, just like you and I are, but that he was really the Son of God. And people who believe that are called Christians, and maybe some of you are Christians, and maybe some of your mommies and daddies here are also Christians. But not everybody are Christians, and in that time in Italy, not everybody were Christians. And the people who were not well liked. As a matter of fact, people wanted to kill them. And so those families who were Christians needed to leave their houses and they needed to go and live in secret places and to live in dark caves. Well, Lucia thought this was really awful. And so what she did was she would go out at night and she'd have these baskets filled with food, one basket in one hand and another basket in another hand, but she had to go into dark streets and dark caves and she couldn't see anything. She couldn't hold a candle to light her way. So what she did was she made herself a crown and she put candles in the crown around her head. And then she could see. So the candle lit her way and she would go to these families and she would give them food and she would help them. Well, one day she decided that she needed to tell the man that she was supposed to marry, that she didn't want to do that, but that she was going to do everything that she could, give everything that was important to her away to the poor, and that she was going to help the poor. So she told him that, and he was not happy about that at all. As a matter of fact, he was very, very angry. And so he told the government, this girl, Lucia, is a Christian. And the government said, oh, that's a very bad thing to be a Christian. And so we're going to send our guards and we're going to capture Lucia and we're going to kill her. This is a terrible, terrible thing, but this really happened. And so they took Lucia and they tied her to a stake and they burned her. And this was a terrible thing, but this happened in those times. And it still happens today that sometimes when people don't like other people, they do things that aren't nice to them. They hurt them or they're mean to them. Sometimes they even kill them. And we have a chalice here that we light on Sunday mornings. And that is to remind us that sometimes people are killed for just being good people and doing things that they want to do in life or that they're different from other people and people don't like them. And we light this chalice to say, that is a bad thing and we're not going to be like that. That's our reminder. Well, Lucia's dead. And then people were very upset and said, this was a terrible thing that happened and we want to help the Christians and we want to help everybody. And so people started to give food and help people in memory of Lucia. And when you remember somebody, then they come back to life in a way because they're there. And then people said, we see Lucia around us. We see her light of love all around us. Well, not only did they see her light and love in Italy, but in another country called Sweden, which is a very dark country in the wintertime where the sun barely comes up and it's darkness almost all the time. One day, on a boat that was going over Lake Vänern, in the front of the boat was this beautiful girl, all dressed in white, with a crown of candles on her forehead, going across the lake in this boat. And they said, oh my gosh, that's Lucia. That's Saint Lucia from Italy. But in Sweden, they don't say Lucia. They take the name Lucia, which is actually from the word lux, which is actually a Latin word that means light. And they say it's Lucia. So in Sweden, they started a tradition called Sancta Lucia. And they even had a song about it. And what happens now in Sweden is there's no girl on a boat coming across a river, but in every house in Sweden on today, the oldest girl in the family dresses in white, in her white nightgown, and she goes down into the darkness of the house, into the kitchen, and she makes coffee and hot chocolate and saffron buns. She puts them on a tray, and she sings a Sancta Lucia song as she's going through the dark house. Can you imagine what it would be like to have Sancta Lucia appear in the darkness in front of us? Oh my gosh! Lucia is here, and she's carrying the light of hope and love in front of her. And what we are asking today is that all of the children, even the older children, come up today, and we're going to have the older children be on this side, standing on this side, and all you younger children, we want you to stand on this side, and you're all going to get a candle, and you're going to light your candle from Lucia's candle, because this is the candle of love and hope, and when you light your candle, you are also going to be people who light candles of love and hope, and we're going to have you stand over here to this side. And older children are going to be with younger children, and then you're going to be in pairs. And you're going to go up the center aisle. When you light your candle with the older child, then you're all going to go up that center aisle and then just stop by the tree and turn around and face the front. And then when all of the children have their candles lit and face the front, Lucia is going to walk you out, and you're going to make saffron buns. Please join now in singing hymn number 55, Dark of Winter. And we will light this enough so that you will actually be able to see, or the majority of you anyway.
Snowy Night by Mary Oliver. Last night, an owl, in the blue dark, tossed an indeterminate number of carefully shaped sounds into the world, in which, a quarter of a mile away, I happened to be standing. I couldn't tell which one it was, the barred or the great horned, ship of the air. It was that distant. But anyway, aren't there moments that are better than knowing something? And sweeter? Snow was falling, so much like stars, filling the dark trees, that one could easily imagine its reason for being was nothing more than prettiness. I suppose if this were someone else's story, they would have insisted on knowing whatever is knowable, would have hurried over the fields to name it, the owl, I mean. But it's mine, this poem of the night, and I just stood there, listening and holding out my hands to the soft glitter falling through the air. I love this world, but not for its answers. And I wish good luck to the owl, whatever its name. And I wish great welcome to the snow, whatever its severe and comfortless and beautiful meaning.
invite you now to enter into our joys and concerns. And today we're going to do it a little differently. We're asking people to just come up in silence. We have a table here with candles. And you can light your candles and just within your own hearts, think your own thoughts and place them in the sand on the candles.
As I went down in the river to pray,
you are welcome to come up at any time.
Studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way.
Oh. Now enter into a silent meditation, reflection, and prayer. I'll begin with these words. We have a great deal more kindness than is ever spoken. The whole human family is bathed with an element of love like a fine ether. How many persons we meet in houses, whom we scarcely speak to, whom yet we honor, and who honor us. How many we see in the street, or sit with in church, whom though silently, we warmly rejoice to be with. Read the language of these wandering eye beams. The heart knoweth. Our meditation will be a little longer today than usual, so please just relax.
May This Light by Kathleen McTeague. May the light around us guide our footsteps and hold us fast the best and most righteous that we seek. May the darkness around us nurture our dreams and give us rest so that we may give ourselves to the work of our world. Let us seek to remember the wholeness of our lives, the weaving of light and shadow in this great and astonishing dance in which we move.
bringing light into darkness. That is our service today. In 2 days, we will be in the shortest day of the year, the day when the sun is brief and the darkness is long, the day when we are asked to stop for a moment on the edge of blackness and think about what life has to offer. For many, these dark days are difficult. The darkness becomes a reflection of our sadness and despair. It speaks to our broken hearts and to our sense of isolation and disconnectedness from one another, from the lives we used to know, and to whom we once were ourselves. Quite the opposite of summertime, when we feel expansive and open-armed and open-hearted, shedding clothing and giving ourselves in all ways to the light and to the possibilities of what the world and what life has to offer us. In this northern climate, as the darkness surrounds us, we hunker down and we hunker in. We bundle up, enclosing ourselves in a heavy weighted garb. We stay at home and close the drapes. We limit our expeditions out and are satisfied with the smallness of our lives. We go inward and become pensive as a response to the largeness of the dark and of the cold that surrounds us. Ironically, this time of darkness and heaviness is when our calendar asks us to celebrate holidays that are made up of family and togetherness. And that's often difficult to do when there are perhaps no longer families to celebrate with, or loved ones who are no longer with us around the table, around the tree. The darkness outside presses in against our homes and against our hearts more profoundly during this time of year than at other times. Sometimes we feel it is more than we can bear, and the eternal darkness of having to face another day can whisper in our ears, and we want to choose to close our eyes and hibernate from life forever. But in this service today, I am asking that we think of darkness in a different way. I'm asking that we think of darkness as something beautiful in which to enter. I'm asking that we feel the security of the darkness, the coziness that it creates, the quiet it imparts, allowing the peaceful language of love into our hearts and into our souls. In the same way the burning suns of stars open up the darkness of the sky above when we gaze upward in the stillness of a winter night, so too can our spirits of hope and love and possibility be opened when we stand in the dark together, surrounded by candlelight and music and each other. It is in this way, in this moment, where we are reminded that we are not alone, but that we are here for one another. It is in this moment, in this religious community, that we feel our closeness, our affection, and our deep and abiding love for all. I am asking for us to hear a whispering of a different kind. Listen. There is hope. For now there is light. Please join now in singing hymn 391, Voice Still and Small. Thank you. After the Storm by Billy Collins. Soft yellow-gray light of early morning, butter and wool, the two-bedroom window still beaded and streaked with rain, the world calm again, routine with traffic after its night of convulsions when storm drains closed the throat and trees shook in the wind like the hair of dryads. In the silent house, its roof still on, too early for the heat to come whistling up and the guest room doors still closed, I am propped up on these pillows, a gray moth-eaten cashmere jersey wrapped round my neck against the unbroken cold of last night. I am thinking about the dinner party, the long table, dark bottles of Merlot, the odd duck and Brussels sprouts, and how after midnight, with all of us sprawled on the couch and the floor, the power suddenly went out, leaving us to feel our way around in the 10th century darkness until we found and lit a stash of candles, then drew the circle of ourselves a little tighter in the softer hula of lights that gleamed in mirrors and on rims of glasses while the shutters banged and the rain lashed down. A sweet nut of memory, but the part that sends me whirring in little ovals of wonder as the leftover clouds break apart and the sun brightly stripes these walls is the part that came later, hours after we had each carried a candle up the shadowy staircase and gone to bed. It was 3, maybe 4 in the morning when the power surged back on, and as if a bookmark had been inserted into that party, when the lamps went dark, now all the lights downstairs flared again, and from the stereo speakers up through the heat register and into our bedroom and our sleep blazed the sound of Jimmy Reed singing Baby What You Want Me to Do, just where he left off. So the party resumed without us, the room again aglow with a life of its own, the night air charged with guitar and harmonica, until one of us put on slippers, went down to that blazing, festive emptiness and turned everything off. Then, without lights or music, even the ghosts of ourselves had to break up their party, snub out their cigarettes, carry their wine glasses to the kitchen, where they kissed each other goodnight and, with nowhere else to go, floated vaguely upstairs to lie down beside us in our dark and quiet beds. Thank you.
Resurrection by Molly Fumia. The reversal of what was thought to be absolute, the turning of midnight into dawn, hatred into love, dying into living anew. If we look more closely into life, we will find that resurrection is more than hope. It is our experience. The return to life from death is something we understand at our innermost depth, something we feel on the surface of our tender skin. We have come back to life, not only when we start to shake off a shroud of sorrow that has bound us, but when we begin to believe in all that is still endlessly possible. We give thanks for all those times we have arisen from the depths or simply taken a tiny step towards something new. We may be empowered by extraordinary second chances. And as we enter the world anew, let us turn the tides of despair into endless waves of hope.
We'll now be doing the offertory, and today we will be singing, this congregational singing, From You I Receive, To You I Give, Together We Share, and From This We Live, as we are passing the offertory basket.
Blessings at Year End by Howard Thurman. I remember with gratitude the fruits and the labors of others, which I have shared as part of the normal experience of daily living. I remember the beautiful things that I have seen, heard, and felt, some as the result of definite seeking on my part, and many that came unheralded into my path, warming my heart and rejoicing my spirit. I remember the moments of distress that proved to be groundless and those that taught me profoundly about the evilness of evil and the goodness of good. I remember the new people I have met, from whom I have caught glimpses of the meaning of my own life and the true character of human dignity. I remember the dreams that haunted me during the year, keeping me ever mindful of goals and hopes which I did not realize, but from which I drew inspiration to sustain my life and keep steady my purposes. I remember the awareness of spirit, of life, that sought me out in my aloneness and gave to me a sense of assurance that undercut my despair and confirmed my life with new courage and abiding hope.
Between Seasons by Elizabeth Tardot. Tiny sparkles from diamond drops of ice, high up in the naked branches of the maple and elm, reflect the sun through my window and work at distracting me. Between their frozen coats, the tiny buds of spring wait to be born. But winter has one last picture to show me before spring comes laughing to the trees. As if they were working together in this month between season, sunshine, catbirds, and crocuses for spring, and icicles hanging on pine needles, and cardinals picking sunflower seeds off the snow-drifted bird feeder for winter, the two seasons call forth from me a great amen. Here we are then, between seasons, not knowing for sure what to do next. Do we conserve and play it safe against an unexpected onslaught striking us like one last winter blast? Or do we cast off our coats and take a risk, daring to embrace a spring which is not quite here? Thank God we have each other and this place of worship to come to when we need to make decisions in our search for both security and renewal. May we remember in the chilliest winter storm or the balmiest spring morning, that this place is here for us, that here we share in creation's love, no matter what the season.
I see trees that are green, red roses too. I'll watch them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow, and they'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, oh, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are always on the faces of the people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? But they're really saying, I love you. I see trees that are green and red roses too. I'll watch them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, oh, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? But they're really saying, I love you. I see trees that are green and red roses too. I'll watch them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I think to myself, ooh, what a wonderful
world. Closing words are by Mark Bellatini. Go in peace. Live simply, gently, at your home in yourselves. Act justly. Speak justly. Remember the depth of your own compassion. Forget not your power in the days of your powerlessness. Do not desire to be wealthier than your peers, and stint not your hand at charity. Practice forbearance. Speak the truth, or speak not. Take care of yourselves as bodies, for you are a good gift. crave peace for all the people in the world, beginning with yourselves, and go as you go with the dream of that peace alive in your heart.
Peace and go in love and spread the light. And there are saffron buns.